Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's up, man? It's Jesse Reekin, man. Welcome to a special edition of the Cornerman TV, man. So much to talk about. This weekend was just great for boxing. Spike TV did a tremendous job. Eric Benet, I never heard of the guy before, came in and I won't say he went toe-to-toe with Sean Porter, but did what a boxer was supposed to do on short notice. And he proved that he was meant to be in the same ring with him. And, you know, I was telling, you know, Nate is a good friend of the show. I was telling Nate, keep an eye on this kid, man. He's going to do something special. You know, Sean Porter got the best of him, of course. But, you know, he caught Shaw with a couple good hits there. And I think this guy could be a problem in the future. And he was a last-minute replacement, you know. So that has a lot to be said for him. Chris Areola, another great fight, more or less, if you want to call it that. But, you know, two guys that just went arm to arm with each other and just pretty much told each other, hey, I'm coming to play. And, you know, the way they just went toe to toe with each other kind of had me laughing. I didn't know that they would actually stand the whole 8 rounds with each other, which is a credit to them. Now, the last fight, man, I was really impressed by Andre Berto. I tips my hat to him. I don't know. I mean, he was great in what he was doing, pretty much. I mean, I didn't see any flaw in his boxing. And, you know, he beat Josito Lopez like any great boxer should. So, you know, we got that to talk about. And, you know, we got more to talk about. I mean, give me your Mayweather versus Pacquiao opinion. I want to hear it, man. 451, you know. 347-215-6721, 347-215-6721. Call in, man, and let me get your opinion on all these matches. But yeah, Spike TV, tremendous job to them. Kovalev did a great job on Pascal. I didn't think that he would do that great of a job. And, you know, I thought Pascal was going to get the best of him. And at one point or another, it looked like Pascal was hurting him. I mean, disagree with me, but it looked like Pascal was actually hurting him at some point. Whether he was or he wasn't, I mean, that's up for you guys to decide, man. But I really thought it was a great matchup between them. You know? And then we have the so infamous Pacquiao Mayweather match that everybody seems infatuated with, everybody wants to talk about, man. You know, I got Pacquiao. That's me. You know, it's no secret. I'm not the biggest Mayweather fan in the world. So, like, we can all have that discussion one day. But, I mean, truth be told, man, I really think Pacquiao is just going to get the best of him. And I'm almost picking him by robbery. And when I say by robbery, let me make this clear. It's going to be a good fight. It's going to be like an all out fight. Nobody's going to see what coming. And it's going to be a good one, man. We're going to be talking about it for the ages. And, you know, everybody should see what's what when this fight actually happens. Now the question is, does Mayweather actually retire? See, that's the question everybody's going to. Does Mayweather actually retire after this fight? Well, and a lot of things play a factor into that. Do I feel that he needs to retire? No, not at all. Mayweather, and I'm going to say here on the show, Mayweather might be the best thing to happen to boxing in the past 40 years or so. His skill level, just people's excitement just to see him again, it's incredible. What he did for the sport is pretty much incredible. And nobody would ever take that away from him. But I'm just saying, is he? I mean, can the sport stand to see him lose? And I think the answer is yes to that. I think we could really stand to see him lose. Will he lose? I mean, that's a whole different story, man. And I don't know who else would actually think that he did lose, you know, or he will lose. It's a hard subject, man. We have to talk on some real people that really know the game. And really tell us the boxing history. Like, I know last time we had Matt Yano on, and I always tell Matt when I talk to him, I'm like, bro, I think you are the best person that knows boxing. I mean, Matt would just tell you something. He'll be like, well, in 1934, when he lost and you were like, what the fuck? What are you talking? He's a real historian of the game, like Mr. Farhood himself. And I'm trying to work on getting Farhood back on the show. But just real historians of the game that really just know everywhere where they're coming from and just what's what, you know? But like I said, man, 347-215-6721. What's up? And let us know if you got something on your mind about boxing today. Now, Roach said, I told Pacquiao, God don't give a fuck who wins. This from Boxing Scene. I always credit Boxing Scene. They're the best. Shout out to Rick Reno, whatever they're doing over there. It's the biggest day of my life, Roach told New York Magazine. Manny has to fight the best fight of his life to win, and that won't be easy. I want him to get meaner and more aggressive because he's going to need it in this fight. He tells me, let's just fight and let God decide who wins. I said, Manny, God doesn't give a fuck who wins. He got bigger things. So it looks like Roach is actually taking this a little more personal than Manny is. Hold on, we're about to have Nate Campbell on. Give me 1 second.
Hey, I'm Nate, man. I'm Nate. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, I'm still Nate.
Hey, Mr. Campbell, man. Welcome to the corner, man.
Hey, what time you guys going on live?
We're on live right now.
Okay. And I'm putting gas in my missus' car, which is a weekly event. So how y'all doing, man?
I'm good, man. I don't know if you remember me. I was from On the Ground Boxing, Jesse Rica, man.
Yeah, On the Ground. I'm from On the Ground.
Yeah, man. So I'm doing my own thing right now. We're doing the cornerman, and this is one of our first few episodes that we have going on. We just had BJ Flores on. Shout out to BJ. And you know, we're doing our own thing right now. How's everything with you?
Everything is good, man. I'm blessed. I'm doing exceptionally well considering I've been punched before.
You know, I told you this before. You versus Juan Diaz is one of my greatest matches of all time.
I'm honored that you would say that. Most folks don't even. It's not even a blip on the radar in most people's case.
Yeah, nah. You know, I told you this before. I don't know if you remember it, but you like, you know. So I have to ask you the question. Every box is being asked. Mayweather versus Pacquiao, man.
You know,
can I get your opinion?
I think Mayweather, I know Mayweather has all the skills to do everything he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Mayweather's going to really get up for this fight. You know, a lot of people think that, here's the issue with things. They think that I don't like certain fighters because I didn't fight them. It's not I don't like them. I just feel like we should have fought. But I think Mayweather's one of the, it's probably, you know, right now is the most well-rounded fight in the game, without a doubt. So my thing is, I don't see Manny Pacquiao, other than being very, 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 you know, hard-pressed in the sense that he's going to have to stay on top of Mayweather. He does have to stay on top of Mayweather. But I don't know if he has the ability, overall ability, to negate Mayweather's overall boxing IQ.
Well, here's what I was saying. I mean, call me bullshit on this one if you want. Here's my prediction. I predict Pacquiao by robbery, meaning, well,
I can go for that. I can go for that. Too many people don't get the fact that I understand the politics of boxing better than any fight in the history of boxing. I understand the politics of boxing. You know, I'm a victim of the politics of boxing, you know.
Right. Remind the fans, what fight are you exactly talking about?
Well, I mean, fights in general. I mean, I got one for you. A lot of people don't get this. And I was on Danny Garcia posted the scores for me and his fight. And
yeah.
I'm like, 99. Some strength. It was ugly. The scores were ugly. Danny must know that the fight was not by any stretch of imagination, you know what I'm saying, that far apart. He knows it, you know what I'm saying? His father knows it. You know, the fact that he was a young, up-and-coming guy, that's the reason that the fight, you know what I'm saying, was what it was. But, and my issue is too many guys get hooked up in the fact, you know, that they don't understand the politics of boxing. I understand the politics of boxing better than anybody. I fed my kids in spite of the politics of boxing. You get what I'm saying? I kept my ability to speak fluidly in spite of the politics of boxing. Not many fighters can say they did that. You understand me? Hello?
I'm listening to you, Nate.
I'm the guy that I can still get up in the morning and tie my own shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was my friend in the ring. And I wasn't an HBO favorite. I wasn't a Showtime favorite. I was none of that. But I was a fighter. And I learned how to take care of my damn self. So when I made the statement, I pulled for Danny Garcia. I wanted to do great. But when you post the kind of stuff he posted, they like the scores, you didn't post the video tell you what, post a video. You want people to give something to look at, post the video. If he posts the video, they'll call for a rematch. But they won't do that. So the politics about it. If I lost the fight with Danny Garcia, I lost by one round on 3 weeks' notice.
Right.
So you tell me, you know, what time it is. And he ain't been looking all that hot here lately. I like him, but Danny got to pick it up. I like Danny. I want Danny to do well. Let's get something established. I want any guy who's out here bumping his head against somebody else's chest, you know what I'm saying, to do well. That goes for Pacquiao, Mayweather, all of them.
Nate, let me say this, man. When you were in the ring, I believe with when you said, and I've never stepped in the ring before, so I can't even judge you. When you said I can't see, like people saw it as an excuse. I was one of them. I swear, but And I'm so, like, I've never been in the ring before.
Here's my question. Let's check this out. In my whole career, have you ever seen me? In my whole career, have you ever seen me tell? Let's get some established. I even fought Victor Ortiz after that with a pinched nerve in my back. If there's any way that I can go on in a fight, I will. It wasn't, no offense. Tim Bragg, by no stretch of imagination, was a danger to me. Since we're going to go there. The boy ain't no puncher. I've been hit my daughter punch harder. And that's on the real. They ain't a shot at Tim. Tim just ain't a puncher. He's a boxer. But yeah. Let's get something established. So we went to court, and it was deemed that I wasn't lying after they saw the video of him almost. As a matter of fact, one of the referees who judged this week, judged my kid this week, I want to say it was the short referee over in California. And Jack Weeks was there. He said, "Man, people don't realize they didn't see that video, and they don't look at it the way we had to look at it in California. He almost pushed his hand through the back of your head."
Right.
Nobody sees that because we're expected to just pick up and carry on as though nothing happened. Why should he benefit from headbutting me in the face? And now let's get something established. Let's get something established. I need this to be said more than anything else in the world. I ain't scared of Tim Bradley. I'll fight any of these guys right now. You give me 2 months, I get in shape, and I'll fight the hell out of any of these guys, any guy in boxing right now. I'm not in a position where I have to get out and prove myself like that. But here's the issue, because I'm not a punk. I'm not, nobody's ever taken care of me in the sense where I can say, I don't want to fight this guy because his style not right. I fought every style that came down the pipe. The issue is this, though. Politics of boxing is not for the fighter anymore. It's for the show. You hear me? It's for the show. That's what it's for. For the guy that's the show. It's not about the guy that's the real, you know, nuts and bolts kind of fighter. As a matter of fact, most of these guys ain't nuts and bolts fighters. Let's really be honest. You tell me one nuts and bolts fight out there other than McDonald's. Don't worry, I'll wait.
You know what, Nate? You Nate the Gladiator. You know, Campbell, like, you know, you, like I said, you were always one of my favorites. And like I said, like,
dude, I've
never been in the ring.
From the time Tim Bradley headbutt me in the eye. I got divorced from the woman I was married to at the time, and I was still having vision problems. I was still having my eye was still jump. I had to go back and forth to the doctor to see if there was nerve damage in my eye. To know if there's no nerve damage, he said, it's just what it is. He said, right now it's going to stop eventually. He said, but there was trauma to your eye. He said, but it didn't damage your eye, but there was trauma. Anytime there's trauma to your eye, he said, things happen. I thought that I'd be blind forever. But the thing about it is, nobody sees that part of the boxing game. Only part that people care about is if you go out like a warrior on your shield. But Brandon didn't go out like a warrior on his shield. He headbutt me in the face. And they ain't got the nerve to get in front of a judge and say, I'm a coward. But when we get outside, you waiting for the people outside the courtroom to save your black head. I'm old-fashioned. Where I come from, If I tell you to kiss my ass, them fighting words. You understand me? And that's where I come from. If I tell another man to kiss my ass, those are fighting words. I told him and his daddy to kiss my ass.
Right.
So, then I take, and my exact words to his daddy was, you a bitch and you raising a bitch. My exact words. And I meant that. I meant that. That's, and I know you podcasting, so guess what? They got to hear me say this. I don't hate them. At that moment, I was angry. But the problem is, you cannot, under any, by any stretch of imagination, get what I went through. You know what I'm saying? Get what I dealt with. To think that my career was over. You understand me? Then to already have back issues since my career started. And then to have it flare up in the next fight. You get what I'm saying?
I just wanted to take it back to Juan Diaz split decision.
I never even think about that decision on that thing. I used to grovel and be angry over that decision. But when I realized,
I felt like you won.
Right, but I'm like, but I definitely won. Blow my horn at one of my kids. I'm training. He's running, telling to pick it up. So I definitely thought it was a unanimous decision. I did everything but knock him out. Most guys would have got a unanimous decision in that situation. I didn't. I never have been fairly graded on stuff, you know what I'm saying, for the most part, with those favorite type fighters. Most guys don't get that part of my career. I don't mind. I never cared. All I cared about was that they got it right. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, after Nate Diaz, do you feel like you broke his heart?
I like Juan. You know, there was something going on in that fight that nobody understood. That was about mental attrition and warfare more than just physical attrition and physical warfare. The whole fight through, I was talking to Juan. A lot of people don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Juan. You know, I was telling Juan, you hit like a bitch, you know. I was telling Juan, come on, man up. Telling Juan, I ain't none of them punks you've been fighting. I was whispering to Juan. I say mean, horrible things to Juan. And it was never about mental warfare. It was never about me. I like him, though. It was always about me getting in his head. It was never about me, you know, not liking Juan and breaking his heart wasn't what it was. But I did want him to understand that he was in a fight.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so how was it? I mean, how was it for Juan after he lost?
Juan has never spoken to me since.
Wow.
And we signed the main event together.
Did you reach out to him?
You know, I've tried on several occasions to reach him through certain channels, but you know, he doesn't owe me anything. At the end of the day, Juan Diaz owes Nate Campbell nothing. And I don't owe him anything at this point. You know, it was a fight. I wasn't trying to be his friend, but it was fair. You know, I came to get what he had. What he had was the world title. I got it. That's what I came for. You know, that's what I came for. I came for his title. I didn't come for us to afterwards be friends and go hang out to have a drink. It would have been nice. But I didn't expect it. So what can you say?
Yo, Nate, I always say this, man. Would you recommend your kids into getting into boxing? Do you want that lifestyle?
I have all daughters, so I don't have that problem, I hope. But I train young men. And every one of them I train, I would hope that they would do something else. But if you're going to do it, why not do it right?
You know, and me and my friend were talking, we were saying, is there any privilege? And the example we thought about was Chris Algieri. Can you give us your opinion on Chris Algieri?
What about Chris Algieri? I didn't think much of him to start with. I thought he was a well-conditioned guy. Because his guy, he's got the right break.
Yeah. Did you think he deserved the win over Provodnikov?
You know what? I'm being honest with you. I never watched that fight. I have to get provided.
Oh, man, it's a great fight, man.
I watched the highlight, but that don't tell me anything. So, you know, I was going through this thing where I was training my guys. I didn't have time for that Chris Algieri. And I'm like, you know, he ain't gonna punch her. Man, he ain't no deadly man. I thought he might get knocked out. But he went in, got in shape, and he boxed a game fight.
Right. Who would you rather stand in front of? Pacquiao or Mayweather?
Who would I rather stand in front of?
Mm-hmm.
I stand in front of either one of them.
Well, who do you think you have the best chance of winning against?
There you go. I'm going to give it to you. I'd have beat Pacquiao and Mayweather at any weight if they wanted
to. At the same time.
It's just what I feel. I'm a fighter. I'm still a fighter. If you give me 8 to 12 weeks, I'll fight the hell out of either one of them. I guarantee you, I swear to God, when I'm through, it'll scare all y'all to death. If I don't beat them, they'll know they've been in a fight. And not the kind of fight they like either. But that's just me.
Right. I remember when I first saw you. I'm sorry, I'm on the echo here. Is that my phone on?
That's part of mine. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when you faced Juan Diaz. Juan Diaz was like a baby boo Diaz.
He wasn't.
What happened?
No, he wasn't. He was. You guys made it that.
Well, you know, I remember talking to a few people inside, like, boxing her, which is not, I'm not saying, like, we got the exclusive on everything. But I remember talking to people, and they're like, wow, this dude hits, like, crazy and stuff. And
who?
Juan Diaz.
Dude, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Are you serious?
I swear that's where he got the nickname Baby Bull from.
Dude, let me tell you something. I was signed to main event. Wait a minute, let me get off my speaker.
We got Nate McCampbell.
I was
the Galaxy Warrior Campbell. Please call us 347-215-6721, man. Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
I was signed to main events. He was signed to main events.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. Carl Moretti, who was the guy running main events back then because Gary Shaw left, he was like, how horrible is this kid? He can't punch. He didn't think much of him. But people loved him because of his story.
Oh, wow.
And no offense, your people, your cohorts, the media, made him out to be this great, great, great kid, which he is. And you blew him up. Nobody thought to think about the guy that worked at Winn Dixie Warehouse with three kids and started boxing late. Nobody was really thinking about me. I was the afterthought because I had to go the hard way to get there. Nobody paid attention to the fact that I actually went through something. Nobody talked about the fact that I actually had to claw and scratch my way to the top.
Right.
So when Juan Diaz hit me, he landed I think it was a 3-2 in the third round. I told him, I said, son, this is going to be the hardest night of your life.
Yeah.
If that's all you got, this is going to be the hardest night of your life. See, I had already said things to Juan that had taken bits and pieces of his manhood.
What, did you face Juan?
Huh?
At what weight was that?
135.
135? Okay.
Yeah. And I walked in. I told Juan Diaz at the last press conference, I'm going to take you to hell. Before the fight started, I asked him, was he ready to go to hell? And every now and then I say, hell is getting, say it's hot in here. I kept saying stuff like, it's hot in here. Come on. You know, let's fight. Stand here. Don't you run. I bet you can't bang with me, punk. Anything. I wasn't there to be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, guys can't take that. That mental anguish is too much for some people.
So, Danny Garcia, is he the real deal or?
Me and Danny Garcia fight. You watch the video and you tell me what you think. I don't think much of him like that.
I'll be completely honest. I gave you the win over him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I seen the fight. I gave you the win over him. Now, but he beat Amir Khan.
Amir Khan. Amir Khan got the heart the size of a gnat. Did you see Amir Khan run, turn his back and run? Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Matisse. Matisse is just a banger. All he had to do was do what he did with Matisse, bang, and it wasn't even a good boxing job. You know what I'm saying? It was a crude. I mean, come on, dude. I know guys that outbox him way better.
So Lamont Peterson, who do you have to, like, break this down?
I'm pulling for Danny Garcia.
You giving it to Danny again?
I'm not giving it to him. I'm pulling for him. I'm not giving him nothing. I can't.
But you think he will win?
I think he has the ability to win.
All right. Can you tell us why?
Well, he's a bigger puncher. I think he has the better pedigree. You know, as far as the guys he fought. But, I mean, let's really be honest. When you get a guy like Lamont Peterson and Danny Garcia, both guys throw a lot of shots. But Danny don't sell out for his shots anymore. Danny want to get the job done. He's aiming to hurt you. I like that about
it. Who's the best light welterweight you seen right now?
I'm trying to tell my kids goodbye. Danny Garcia's up there. He's up there. I don't know. Because I've never seen him in a real fight with a skill talented guy. I've seen him with a punter who can't really box. But what about guys that have had the full training camp, no problems in camp, no short notice? I mean, think about it. And the problem is, people think these guys are great, but at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are being set up to be killed.
Hold on, we got a UK caller. Flawless. He told me he couldn't make it today, but I guess since it's Nate Campbell, he found the exception to make it.
Yeah, that's what it is. If it was just you, Jesse, I would have just stayed off in it and called it a night. Well, since Nate Campbell's on the phone, I'm going to come on. That's what he was.
Thanks, man.
No problem, Nate, man. You good?
I'm great, man. I can never complain.
That's good, man. That's good for you. That's good. What y'all talking about now?
Yeah, any questions for Nate, man?
At the moment, I can't situate. I don't have this many in time. I was wondering what y'all are talking about first. What are you talking about?
We're talking about his match with Juan Diaz, the best water. Nate was talking about actually being in the ring with Danny Garcia.
Right. I mean, when Danny Garcia fought Amir Khan, and he knocked him out, I'm thinking to myself, if you saw the fight with me and Danny Garcia, I take the fight on 3 weeks' notice. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. I got it on a Wednesday. I had no sparring partners, so I went in and sparred with some amateurs. I got in shape, and I went to get him. And so here's my issue. You telling me this guy is the greatest guy at the weight, and he fought an old Nate Campbell and left on by 3 weeks' notice?
Nate, my co-host Flawless, he's from UK, so he's gonna tell you Amir Khan walked on water, man.
Well, no, he's not. I'm gonna tell you why he's gonna tell me that. because I've been there off the dock when he fought. I was there when he fought Diaz and he lost and they gave him the fight. So you can't tell me that.
I was like Jesse, like, you gotta listen when Jesse says things about him. You gotta take it with a pinch of salt first, innit?
I think he was giving you a hard time. I'm like, I know you're not saying that foolishness.
Nate, I swear to God, he told me that he wanted to see Amir Khan versus Mayweather.
That's why.
Yeah, you know what?
They think that Amir Khan has a chance to beat Mayweather. He has no chance.
You didn't say you wanted to see that match. I said I wanted to see the fight, but I didn't say come and win. What I said was I enjoyed seeing that fight because of the build-up.
Don't let me be the reason y'all have a fist fight.
Yeah. Nah, Jesse don't want none of me, innit? You know what I mean? I'm too sexy in the ring. Like, he don't want none of me, innit? You know what I mean?
I asked this question, who are these guys' fault? And what was the way they was set up to fight these guys? Because I know the way it's run. I know how they come in the game.
Or maybe this is private information. Has any camp actually hit you up to be a sparring partner?
Danny Garcia?
No, Pacquiao Mayweather.
No, you know, they didn't. I said, but if they did, I would spar with the chat. I don't have a beef with Pacquiao. And I think that here's what people probably realize. Because I'm so aggressive, nobody thought about the fact that I could pull back and box shoulder forward. Nobody thought about that. But use what you have. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Freddie Roach anyway, you know. He said some very horrible things about me in the past, so I'm not a big lover of him. I want to one day tell him face-to-face that I didn't like the stuff he said about me and why. And I would like him to tell me what he felt about me, because at the end of the day, Freddie Roach has a right to his opinion.
What did he say about you?
He said I was a bum.
Oh, wow.
I said bum. I said damn. I was really
not
damn.
Jesse. He called me Freddie Roach is Jesse's man, so defend that, Jesse. Yeah, I mean, that's Jesse's man, that's Freddie Roach. He thinks he's the greatest player of all time.
Let me tell you something. If Freddie Roach was a black guy with the same ailment he has, nobody would hire him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big statement.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
What stemmed them to say you were a bum? Like, where did that come from?
So that they could keep me with Pacquiao because I wanted his ass.
Okay. And then that was his retaliation towards you?
Yeah, but the thing about it was, everybody knows at 135, I was a king. And Pacquiao was just a guy. Actually, Pacquiao was a titleist. I was the only champion at 135. I had more belts than anybody.
Right.
I beat the man that they said was the man. I beat him up.
Which was Juan Diaz.
Right, I beat him up. And I was willing to fight anybody. I went after Casamayor, and he decided to fight somebody else. Marquez beat Casamayor and then decided not to fight me. When they stripped me of the title, he went after the title. They let you know that he didn't want nothing to do with me. He wanted the belt, but he didn't want the Nate.
Right.
So my thing is simply this.
When Pacquiao faced Marquez for the fourth time, I was like, this is the most retarded match in history. Like, Marquez knows you better than anybody knows you.
Well, Marquez did was listen to my interview. I said, if you want to beat Pacquiao, stand your ground, rock that, and let your right hand go.
Right.
What's so hard about that?
They're always so hard.
Everybody's
about
afraid of Pacquiao. He's a little dude who I've always thought was on steroids.
Yeah, you know what's funny? To me, me and Flawless always have this conversation, man. I say you're guilty, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Okay. Let me prove him guilty.
Okay.
There you go. I'm going to prove him guilty. You ready?
Yeah.
We're gonna use genealogy. Who is the most muscular race of man on the planet? Naturally. Don't worry about it. I'll wait. If you don't know, I'm gonna tell you in a minute. Who is
repeat the question.
Who is the most muscular race of man naturally on the planet? Okay, the original man, black man. Since we had that, since you have this question, I'll break it all the way down. But you act like you don't know.
Mark,
you've never seen a black athlete in his at after 30 years old or after at any age put on 30 pounds of lean muscle. You tell me when you saw it. Mayweather ain't do it. I didn't do it. Shane Mosley didn't do it. Bernard Hopkins didn't do it. Even though he gained weight, it wasn't lean muscle. Roy Jones didn't put on all lean muscle. Right or wrong?
You're right.
Hello?
You're right.
Nah, you're right.
Okay. So you tell me how the hell a dude that comes from a small race of people, a bunch of little bitty people, not only who had lost fights in a lower weight class, got stopped in lower weight, go up, put on what, let's say, I'm sparing, he was at 108, 105, 112, what was his weight? Hello?
When Pacquiao first started.
What, 105?
Was he not 105?
112?
Yeah,
105.
Yeah.
He started 105. Was he 112?
He put on what? 35 pounds, 40 pounds of lean muscle?
Well, hold on. I mean, you know.
Did he not put on that much lean muscle? Because when he fought Mayweather, when he fought De La Hoya, he looked like a bodybuilder.
See, but when you're talking about Pacquiao, you're talking about one in a million also.
Tell you something. Ain't no one in a million. What you believe? See, there you go. Your pack tart is showing. Your pack tartism is showing. That's a bad disease. That's a bad disease to have. You cannot be that crazy to believe that this man is that special. See, because he's not. He's not. Come on, dude. If he was that special, when people started saying he was on steroids and he started getting skepticism about it and the testing started getting. First of all, this cat said he was afraid of needles, but he got tattoos. Stop it. I mean, come on, man. Let me explain some of y'all. I told Mayweather's people this a long time ago. Screw his blood. You want five strands of his hair, all pulled from the root. Then we'll find out what he's done. That's why he stopped taking it. Because everybody bump the blood. Give me the hell.
Yeah, hold on, man. I think we got a caller right here. 414, you there? 414.
Oh, I'm just listening there right now. I'm trying to see what the whole rundown is right fast.
And my issue is this here. How you doing? My issue is this here. When it comes down to it, you can't make me believe that he's any more special. Dude, I come from a family athlete. A family athlete. And I don't know one of them that put on 30 pounds of muscle without doing something that's illegal. And nobody ever's done it in my family. I'm talking about athletes. As a matter of fact, let me help you understand something when I say family athletes. You know that I'm not the first champion in my family. You guys don't know that, do y'all?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, let me tell you my genealogy. I was adopted, but before, I came from a very, very, very good family. But you know how families go through stuff, drugs, alcohol, ravage the family. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, her name was Lenora Patterson. My daddy's grandmother's name was Lenora Patterson. She had a cousin, a little cousin she babysitted, that became world champion. And he's the only man to win, he was the first man to win the heavyweight title back after losing it. Anybody know who it is? Anybody know who it is?
Floyd Patterson.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. Get that man a cookie. Okay. I come from a long line of athletes. A long line of athletes.
Wait, hold on. This is your adopted family or your real family?
No, my biological family.
Okay.
My biological family. I have pictures of my great grandmother and you can pull a picture of Florida. They look just alike. They have the same bone structure, the whole nine. Her name was Patterson before she married my grandfather, whose name was Campbell. And people don't get that. I went to college and people don't think that I know what I'm talking about. But look, you can't change your genealogy. Pacquiao does not come from a long line of athletically built, muscularly built people. If he did, they'd all be athletes because somebody before him would have been found out. You get what I'm saying? Don't tell me that this man carried this.
I don't know. That's a little racist. I mean,
man, call it what you want to call it. That's racist. You know the problem is? The black man cannot be racist by any stretch of imagination. The problem is simply this. It's not racism. I'm talking about genes. I'm not talking about his color. I'm talking about genes. The genes of the people that we're talking about are not overly muscular, large people that it's not. You telling me this man went from 112 to like 150 pounds, 152, 153, all muscle, body fat about 2%. Come on, man, stop. And you actually defending this. What's racist is the fact that
I don't think I'm defending it, more the fact that all right,
dude,
got proved, but
you
hold
are.
On.
I don't think that much, but
Sugar Shane got exposed for this, and he didn't.
Catch as much ridicule
that Pacquiao's catching without getting exposed for it.
You know why? Because people get mad when you don't know how to hide something, though. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna tell you something. You can talk to you blue in the face. Even Shane didn't go up and put that much weight on. Shane didn't go up to 160 all muscle. But you gotta realize something. Let me ask you a question. Why did Pacquiao only stay at 135? I figured this out. I sat down with one of my professors and I asked him, I said, what would be the reason he didn't stay at 135? One, because it wasn't in the money there, because if he'd have fought me, it would have been the biggest fight at 135 in 30 years. No one had all four titles in 30 years. The last man to do it was who? Who was the first man to do it and the last man to do it? Pernell Whitaker. Okay, since we go in there, it would have been the first time in 30, that would have been the biggest lightweight fight in 30 years. Probably one of the biggest fights in the history of boxing, if you'd have done it right. He was going to make the most money. The fight was proposed. They offered me $5 million. I said, I'll take it. Not because I was so much about the money as much as I was about the historic value of the fight. You get what I'm saying? But here's what I'm trying to get you to see. He only stopped at 135 for one fight to get that title from a guy that his promoter had. And think about it. He think about what I'm saying. Do you think that David Diaz is a tougher fighter than Margarito, a tougher fighter than De La Hoya, a tougher fighter than Cotto?
Let me ask you this question. We're getting all real right now.
But you didn't answer that question because you got to answer that question. Do you think that David Diaz was tougher than those guys?
No,
I love
I
David
don't.
Diaz.
I don't.
Okay,
I
then,
don't.
Then why did it take him 9 rounds to knock him out? Because he couldn't stay on steroids the way he once did. He had to come off early.
Hold on. If we're talking seriously right now, was Margarito cheating when he went against Carmen Cintron?
Oh, guess what? I wasn't there. I wasn't there. I guarantee you this.
Nah,
it wasn't the first.
Don't do that now, man.
No, if you let me finish, I'm not gonna give you the answer you want because I'm gonna give it to you the right way. The same way I would tell you, you standing up supporting Pacquiao. I'm not supporting Pacquiao, Margarito. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I tell you this much here: if he was cheating with if they caught him cheating with Cotto, he definitely was cheating he was definitely cheating with everybody else. I guarantee you he was just as dirty with the other fights or dirtier before they caught him. Because you don't stop doing it before they catch you if you're getting away with it. Right or wrong.
True.
The average man would cheat till he gets caught. And he'll say, I'm sorry. He won't be sorry because
Pacquiao never got caught. Hey, let me just say that though. Pacquiao never got caught.
He didn't take the test. Let me tell you something. The night that I beat Juan Diaz, there was no drug test, and to this day they still say I was on steroids. I just had my first drink of wine at 40.
Wow.
I just had my first glass of wine at 40. My first glass of wine was at 40.
So when you beat Juan Diaz, you actually have people come up to you
and say that I was on steroids. The whole camp said I was on steroids.
Wow.
And to this, and I, my thing is, I even reached out and said, hey, if you guys want to take my hair, whatever you want to do, you can do it. I'll shit for you. I don't care what it is. But come on, man. Don't taint what I did. You get what I'm saying? I beat
right.
you. I beat you. I stood in front of the world, and I beat you. And I wanted my just due. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if you ain't man enough to admit that I beat you, it ain't my fault. It's your fault.
Yo, do you think Juanma Marquez, man, do you think it would have been, like, you think, I always would have loved to see you guys against each other.
Let me tell you something. There's two guys that Juan Manuel Marquez fought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First guy he fought was a guy named Johnny Walker. I did the work for him in training camp. I knocked Johnny Walker out about twice a week on the low end.
Well,
he went out there and Marquez knocked him out. He was shot before he got to the fight.
Right.
I was like 11-0 when I fought, or 10-0 when I fought with Johnny Walker. Then Marquez turns around, knocks Pacquiao out. And I've been telling people for years, don't run from him, stand in front, lean back, throw the right hand. I'm like, I know Marquez is a counterpuncher. You beat a counterpuncher with good pressure, make him fight. If Diaz, let me tell you something. Do you think that if I'd have put the same pressure on Marquez that Diaz put on him with my punching power, that he'd have got a chance to knock me out? I don't think so. I'm a better defensive fighter. So my thing was, I never worried about fighting him as much as everybody else did. I wanted to fight him. I thought that would have been a fight they'd have made. But you had all this Cold War, this promotional Cold War going on. Aaron don't want to fight with this guy, and nobody wants to fight with Don, and Golden Boy only wants to fight in-house. And I'm going to tell you something that they said to me out of their own mouth. They said, if you ain't signed with us, we'll fight around you. And that's just what they did. And that's sad. It hurts the sport of boxing. This is I became champion in the dark ages of boxing promotionally. And the sad part about it is, a lot of guys don't get that, and they keep telling me, "Oh man, you weren't this, you weren't that." And I laughed at them. I said, "Sad. It's just sad because you guys, and not you, but the press will blow up a certain guy."
Yo, facts. You there?
Hello.
Hello.
Something that you said resonated earlier when you were speaking on the steroid issue or whatnot, and you know Jesse made it a point to say, well, Pacquiao wasn't caught. Barry Bonds never tested positive, but to this day he gives the flag for the steroids.
I want to say something about this, but I'm scared I'm gonna get called racist. He's a black guy. He's guilty until proven innocent. You know that's the truth.
Talk that shit. Black people can't be racist. I feel, man, hey, talk that shit.
Black people can't be racist. Yo, y'all kill me with that. Black people can't be racist.
We cannot be racist by definition. So if you believe we can, okay, believe that. But that right there is the first sign to show me that you went to a school and they got you. The chip is working. The chip is working. I just want to say that to you and think about what I'm saying. The chip is working.
Hey, but you know what? Roger Clemens never tested positive either, since everybody wants to call a race issue, and he's still getting hit, too.
Who?
Just because his friend said he did it.
Roger who?
Roger Clemens, the baseball player.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens pissed the right people off. He like Pete Rose.
Yep.
He pissed the right folk off. See, it's very seldom you see a cat like that getting in trouble unless he pissed the right people off. I'm going to ask you a question. Why is it that Madoff, and this going to shed some light on the whole issue, why is it that the guy Madoff got all that time for embezzling, that Ponzi scheme? That's the most time ever given out. Why is that?
Yeah, because he screwed over the right people.
He screwed over the right people. He screwed over rich people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Perfect.
And I mean, the thing about it is, and I say that to people all the time, because I watch guys get 15, 20 years in prison for a crime that I saw a guy get 30 days in probation for. That's real talk. You understand me? So the sport of boxing is probably one of the most racist sports there is, but we don't see it because we're so busy acting like it's such a happy place. It's not. Dude, tell me, why did I tell you that black folk don't buy tickets and black folk don't buy pay-per-view? When, dude, that's not true. That's not true. That's just simply not true. But in order to make us have to fight the kind of fights where we end up almost dying in, that's what they tell you. So you got to take the hardest fight applicable every time out. And that's just the racism of the sport. I love my sport, but I hate the business.
It's funny, man. Like, somebody with your kind of record, and, you know, it's funny because you don't deserve the kind of record you have, you know? Why do you think that is? Well, management behind you or what?
What do you mean, record? Like, my overall record? I'm proud of my record. Whatever it is, I earned it. Win, lose, or draw, I earned it.
But you're better than your record, though. That's okay.
Here's the thing. When you come to the state of Florida, they'll remind you who I am. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to love me. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. You know what I'm saying? I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I learned a long time ago, I can't make everybody, you can't make everybody happy. I've been married twice. And let you know, I know I can't make everybody happy.
Right.
Does that make sense to you? You can't make everybody happy, baby. And the ones you can't make happy, you have to say sorry and keep it moving. And if it ain't your fault, say fuck you and keep it moving. But then you got to understand, at the end of the day, you can't make everybody happy. So for me, my style wasn't for everybody, even in amateurs. It wasn't for everybody, you know, but I did something they didn't want to happen, and I guarantee you right now, what I'm going to say is going to resonate with you guys. There'll never be, and Roy Jones once said it to me, he made me understand this, there'll never be another Nate Campbell. Not ever. You'll never see a guy start as late as I did with no promotional backing, with no management, really, other than, well, till I got a manager, with none of the stuff that all these guys get coming out of the amateurs that will become as prolific in the sport as I did. If you believe that will, I bet you some money. I'll be dead and gone when it happens, if it happens. The sport will pass away first because they'll control it. How many of y'all believe I'm lying? Come on. I asked somebody the other day. I asked a matchmaker the other day. I said, you miss me, don't you? He said, boy, if I had 10 of you, I could rule the world. You can't even get these guys to fight no more.
Yeah. True statement, man. Hold on. Yo, we got Flawless, man.
Yeah,
get back
back
on.
Yeah, my line dropped. Yeah, I'm back in it. Are you sure you didn't cut me off, Jesse? I'm playing, man. It was my line.
He did. He didn't want to hear. He said he don't want to hear from Flawless.
Nate, don't you want to hit this guy just because he sounds like Amir Khan?
Don't I what?
Amir Khan. I don't.
He doesn't.
Flawless, man.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite boxer, man? Ricky Allen?
My favorite, active boxer. Come on, now, don't be silly. My favorite boxer ever, man. You know this. Hear me.
Mayweather.
You know this. Mayweather. Andre.
Well, yo, Campbell, let me ask you this, Nate. Man, the way that he acts, I just can't get behind him. Flawless,
that's hard.
I'm a big fan of him.
Flawless, I'm going to tell you something.
Not Floyd.
You're talking
about
Brona,
man. Dude, let me tell you something. Right now, this day, I've said on more than one occasion, you guys give me time, I'll fight the hell out of him. Not because I hate him as a person. I hate what he does to himself. I want so much from him. I want so much from him. I expect so much from him. You know, I'm like, son, stop letting this money rule your life, dude. There's an old saying that I was taught, that's a biblical scripture. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And you get so caught up in money, you get caught up in so much in money, and you forget about the love of this game, it'll come back to haunt you every time. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can spend money, and it'll be gone. You know what I'm saying? But if you cannot garner respect, if you don't garner respect of your peers and the people, let me tell you, I know of people that lost everything in boxing, but they were so respected that people came up and gave them stuff because they loved them so much. I don't see that happening for Adrian. He better make sure he do good stuff with his money. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going to tell you something else. I never wanted to be anybody else. My missus told me one time, she said, you and Roy are so tight. You talk about his accolades more than you talk about your own. I said, no, I don't. She said, to me, you do. I had to stop and think about that. And then Roy Jones began to talk about my accolades. I'm like, wait a minute. It's not that I don't know how good I am, how good I was as a fighter, how good I am as a fighter. It's like, I just did my job. You know what I'm saying? I just did my job. I got up in the morning. I ran. I trained. I went. It was a job to me. But other guys made it into, like, this industry. I'm like, do that. That's cool. But at the end of the day, how good were you really? Will the legacy you leave behind stand up against the great? That's all I wanted. You get what I'm saying? I wanted my legacy to stand up against Emil Griffin. I want my legacy to stand up with those guys. You know, I want my legacy to be, you know, Charlie Burley. That's the man that I revered more than anyone. I loved him. I stole most of his style. But people don't get that. I stole from Curry Robinson and Charlie Burley mostly. But then there were other guys that I stole from. They were old fighters. And the problem is, our legacy will be here long after the money and the fame and the adulation is gone. And that's all I ever cared about. I'm cleaning my pool, so I ain't doing that bad. You know? Did I lose it? Did y'all quit? Did I break somebody's heart? Did I make somebody angry?
Nah. No, we're here. We're just listening.
Yeah, man. I was just wiping the tail away from my face. That's what it was. I mean, yeah, I was just listening. That's what it was. I was just listening. I hear what you're saying. That's all it was.
Let me tell
you over here in the UK.
Let me tell you something. Here's what y'all guys fully realize about me. I'm a fan. I'm a fan that has had the ability and the chance to do something that every fan in boxing wishes he could. What is that?
Boxing the ring.
I went in the ring and I said I was a fan of boxing that ended up being better than the guys that other guys watched. I'm a fan of boxing, man. I'm not a fan of fighters as much as I'm a fan of boxing. I love boxing. And because I love boxing, because I care about the sport.
Do you think that should have been the retirement for Marquez?
Yeah, he should have had to fight me. I think Marquez should have had to fight me. Pacquiao should have had to fight me. Oh, let me tell you something. I feel like if the fights would have happened between me, Marquez, Mayweather, Pacquiao.
Wait a minute.
If those fights would have happened, this would have been the Fantastic Four, like Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler, and Duran. That's what it would have been like. Think about it. If us four would have found a way to get together, that would have been, dude, there's no greater foursome to be around at the same time in the history of boxing, is there? Be honest. That's the greatest foursome to ever be anywhere close to the same weight in the history of boxing that I can think of in my time, as far as I'm concerned. You know? So, yes, I think that...
Who's the four? Say that. Who's the four? Which is the four? Is the greatest ever, you were saying? Yeah.
That I think. Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
Tommy Hearns. Marvin Hagler. Duran.
Yeah, truthfully, that's hard to disagree with still.
I know, but I'm going to tell you something. And if you threw Aaron Pryor in the mix, baby, think about it. What could have happened in that era? That would have been the Fab Five. But just imagine you to put us four in the same ring at different times. The beauty of it all is we'd have all benefited. We'd have all went down the folklore. You understand me? And that's what boxing is missing. We're missing those folk like heroes. You know what I'm saying? No offense. Dude, you'll forget about Floyd Mayweather in 2 years. You won't miss him in 2 years. If he doesn't fight after he makes 50 or whatever, he'll be like, no offense. Joe Kazagi left and don't nobody talk about it no more. Right or wrong.
You know what's funny, man? I bring that up every day. Joe Calzaghe left, and nobody gives him that credit.
Yeah, you know why? You know why? Because he waited until everybody was old. See, the problem is you call everybody these great fighters while they're fighting, but then after you've had a little time for them to be gone, that's why they don't put you in the Hall of Fame for 5 years later.
Right.
Your legacy isn't as golden.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm sorry to cut you off. Would there ever be a boxer as great as Muhammad Ali?
What do you mean great? Ray Robinson was a way more phenomenal fighter. He just didn't have the social issue to fight with. So stop it. Come on now. If you're going to talk about something, talk about Henry Armstrong, who fought who won a 26-pound class, 35-pound class, a 47-pound class, and challenged for the 60-pound class.
Yeah.
Come on, that's great. And people keep saying it. Only reason that Ali is considered to be great is because I respect him because of his social stance. It's hard to put anybody else ahead of him but Ray Robinson for a social stance because he stood for something. See, that's what hurts a lot of fighters now. I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't listen to a lot of rap, but there's a rapper named Young Thug. Y'all ever heard of him?
Yeah.
The little gay boy. I know he's gay. I don't have anything against gay.
Yo, Sax, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Sax, you there?
Yeah, what up? Well, rap.
Yeah.
He said,
did you hear of Young Thug?
Little Young Thug, the little gay boy, the little fish. The little fish.
Yeah, no
doubt. He gay. And I, one thing about me, I don't hate gay people. I just feel like it's a selfish act, you know what I'm saying? But that's his thing to you. He keeps saying that he would never buy another, he won't buy a Jay-Z album because Jay-Z is 45 and still rapping. No offense, I ain't a big Jay-Z fan, but Jay-Z has more substance than Young Thug. And the problem is, here's what you got to remember. Is this here.
Flawless shit back on.
If you stand for something, they give people something to get behind. But if you stand for nothing, people look at you like you're crazy. And we look at Young Thug like, this cat is a boob. And no offense, we just do. So at the end of the day, the reason that you say...
Can I ask you a question, Nate? Who's your favorite rapper, man?
I don't like a lot of rappers. Of all time? You mean of all time?
Are you more into what music are you into? More country or
no? I love music. I was a music major in college, all through high school.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of people don't know that, but my favorite rapper of all time is a guy who you may not know of. You may not. He's the greatest. He's considered the greatest rap lyricist in the history of rap. His name is Rakim.
Of course I know Rakim.
Before I became a teen. That's my guy, Point Across. And he has street cred to go with it. If you ever look at his Paid in Full album, him and Eric B's knuckles really looked like they had been boxing the wall.
I didn't know he... You know what's funny? I didn't study that at first, that he didn't curse.
No, he didn't. It wasn't no mother sentences, none of that. Because you couldn't get a record played in his day. You had to be lyrically sound to get a record on the radio. Now all you got to do is say, you, I don't fuck with you. You know, that's all you got to do. You got to throw that, you know. that's a breakup song. That's a breakup song now, you know.
Yeah,
I don't want a breakup song when I was growing up was I Bet You By Golly Wow, you know what I'm saying? Or The Love I Lost Stays On My Mind. Those are breakup songs, you know what I'm saying? You broke up with a girl, you wrote a ballad to her.
Right, Rakim and Eric B, that's Paid in Full, right?
Yeah, Paid in Full was one of their songs. They have a great... Look up their catalog, bro. Their catalog is phenomenal. If you listen to their stuff is literally 10,000 years ahead of the stuff that they're putting out now.
Oh, yeah, it's because lyricism took a backward step now. It's all about being catchy and whatnot. There's very few lyricists left in rap.
It's all hook. It's all hook. All hook and beat.
My boy Stack said he wanted to spar with you. That's him. That's not me.
Dude, look at him. He can get it. I'm telling you right now, I'm still a dirty old cat. Whatever we do, it's going to border on.
Yo, let me ask you this on a serious question. I was just joking with that one.
let me ask you this. As far as sparring, do you like, I remember when I first saw 24/7 for Mayweather De La Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hurting his sparring partners. And it's kind of unwritten rule you don't do that, right?
No, there's no unwritten rule on that. If I tell you, you go earn that money. You better ask somebody about me. I'm going to tell you something. I was like, Freddie Pendleton was a murderer when it came to his sparring partners. And I was hard on sparring partners, Jack. Hard on sparring partners because I told my sparring partners when they came in, you don't owe me nothing. I want you to make me better. So make me better, make me worse.
All right, so let me ask you a question, man. Because De La Hoya had Sugar Shane come as sparring partner for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So is that actually a match? Are you guys, when you're sparring, is that actually a match?
No, Shane Mosley was sparring partner. He was my sparring partner one time. He came in. Shane Mosley came down from where he was, this great, great fighter, came down to Westminster, California, and sparred with me for a couple of days for free.
And I'm sure he didn't box you, right?
Oh, yes, we did. We went to work. We went to get it. Shane actually told me I had the longest arms he'd ever seen on a guy my height. Shane said, ain't no way in the world.
What makes the difference between the sparring partner and the actual boxer?
Nothing, because all those guys are boxers. What makes you ask that question? You're still talking about fighters, professional fighters.
Well, no, I'm just asking, they take it easier, right, at some point.
Sometimes. I never wanted that. I want my guys to bring the house down. I want my guys to bring the house down. Actually, my guys come in the gym, I'm talking trash. You know I'm kicking your ass today, right? You better earn this money. You know that, right? You better bring your A game because I'm bringing mine. So then let you know up front what you're dealing with. I'm coming to get you.
All right. And, have you ever lost during a sparring session?
Shoot. Richie Keelis, the guy. Y'all remember Richie Keelis?
No.
You don't remember Richie Keelis? Richie Keelis fought like 50 fights as a pro. He fought everybody. He hit me one time in the solar plexus.
Flawless, you know? Flawless, my know.
He hit me in the solar plexus with a left hand. And Buddy Madrid would tell you it took everything in me not to go down. And I ended up almost killing him in a fist fight. I love Ricky Keeley. He's one of my best friends. I paid him a lot of money to beat me up. But, dude, if you're going to get beat up, then sparring is where you want it to happen. There's many days, let me tell you something, there have been many days when you walk out of the gym with Bill Gonzalez, and Bill Gonzalez said, you know you caught a bad one today, right?
So this accusation that Mayweather's paying people not to spar with Pacquiao, I mean, do you believe this?
Yes, I believe. Let me tell you something. There's a guy named Maurice Harris. How many of y'all know Mo Harris? Mo Harris. Mm-hmm. Maurice Harris.
I don't know, man. You know more about boxing than I do. Yeah.
I'm educated. Well, Maurice Harris, they say Lennox Lewis paid Maurice Harris $5,000 a week to come sit in the gym so Mike Tyson can use it.
For what?
He paid him $5,000 a week so Mike Tyson couldn't use it to get ready for that fight. He didn't spar with him. He said Maurice Harris had to come sit in the gym every day for $5,000. A week.
Holy shit.
Then what happens? It's a business now. If you knew right now that, here's the problem. First of all, I think that Freddie Roach is too arrogant to use the white people to mimic Mayweather style. So I wouldn't be one of the ones they use. But if you look at a lot of my fights, I fight shoulder back. And because I'm aggressive, the problem is I'm aggressive. I understood that being aggressive with my power and my reach, I was able to be, I could garner more knockouts that way. You get what I'm saying? And it happens fast. You got to be willing to use the guys that can make do the best for you. You understand me? And a lot of trainers have an ego. And no offense, if Maurice Harris was the best guy to mimic your style, why wouldn't you pay him where somebody else can use him? That's a good business move, right? Hello?
Yeah. Listen, stop fucking. Flawless keeps hanging up and coming back, man.
My signal's going. Yeah, I mean, my signal's going. Now I found a spot in it. That's why I ain't home. That's what it is.
All right.
My signal's terrible.
I'm gonna get your whole conversation through. Amir Khan is the best person.
That's good. Yo. Idiot.
Let me tell you something. So, Amir Khan called me out at 1:35 and then said, after Buddy McGirt came over to train, and Buddy McGirt told him, said, y'all better leave that cat alone.
Yo, Nate, this guy told me, he was like, he called me one day. He's like, yo, I seen Amir Khan walking on water. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, no, I'm not. He's
he's like,
I'm serious, man. I brought him some water, and he turned that shit into wine.
I'm just letting
y'all know. I don't even have Jesse's number, so I don't know about me ringing him. Jesse, I haven't got his number.
Jesse on some other foolishness now.
He is on some other. Yeah, that's correct, isn't it? You're not the first guest to say that. Everyone who comes on says that about Jesse. I'm glad it's
but
not.
But no, real talk. But real talk, Jesse. Let's
be honest about everything.
That's not the first time I've heard of that. That's a common practice in boxing inside the game.
Well, my favorite fight from you is the Juan Diaz fight, hands down. Like,
check it out. I'm gonna tell you, if you think that was a good fight, look up Nate Campbell versus Matt Zeeson.
Okay.
Right. Look that fight up. Look up Matt Zeeson. Look up the Matt Zeeson fight. Dude, that was a good fight. That kid, he stood there and took it, and. That was a virtuoso. I put down a great performance, but nobody got to see those fights. Don't they? There are a lot of fights that people didn't.
Well, you lost the last couple of fights, you know.
I kept getting fights short notice. I'm gonna tell you something that happened to me. I fought a kid, Vizier, they caught me on Monday. I fought him on Friday.
Okay.
I fought the kid over in England. You know what? My coach told me something. I'm going to tell you something about being hard-headed. I went down to 137, and it almost killed me to get there. And there's a hotel in Sheffield where we fought. There's a hotel in Sheffield. I set the fire alarm off. I steamed the room up so bad. Right. They had to evacuate the hotel. I literally almost died trying to make that weight. I said, the last time I go below 140. And I ended up coming back and fighting 154, just a tune-up fight. But it won that fight. But I'm like, you know what? If I'm not going to get the time I need to get prepared, I'm not going to do it.
Kendall Holt is another one that I kind of felt into your scene.
I would love to have fought Kendall because I like Kendall's style. I like the fact that Kendall was a fighter.
He almost knocked out Timothy Bradley.
I was there.
So, does Timothy Bradley have this, like, chin of steel?
No. Timothy Bradley gets in very good shape, and that fight, Kendall Holt gave the fight away.
Right.
You know, let me tell you something.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, too. Kendall Holt, Ricardo Torres, you remember the
That was a good fight. That was a good fight.
Great fight. The knock. Oh. Was it because of the headbutt or?
I don't know, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Kendall Holt always been one of my favorites. But it almost seemed like after Timothy Bradley, he seemed to kind of like dwindle down and like.
You know what?
Not...
I don't know. For me, after the Guzman fight fell through, I was very disenchanted with boxing. You know, that's just life. That's life.
Yo, Flawless, you there?
Hey, I'm telling you right now, man, I gotta catch a plane. So let me get myself together. I'm gonna give you a call.
Man.
Okay, but call me in.
Second to last question, man.
Yeah.
Flawless, you there? I would love Flawless, man. Yo, Nate, thanks so much, man.
Anytime, Jess. Anytime.
And like I said, man, you versus Juan Diaz is one of my favorites, man. I can't wait to see what you got coming up next.
Oh, man, watch my kids. I'm training a whole bunch of kids. Just watch them. They're going to do some great things.
Okay, cool, man.
All right, cool.
All right, man, that was Nick Campbell, man. Hey,
Jess.
Flawless, you there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. Could you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Nah, okay, yeah, man.
Yeah. Take me off mute, man. Put here. What's wrong with you?
Well, that was my fault, man.
Nah, my signal has been terrible anyway. It's terrible there. Yeah. What did you say?
What you thought, man?
What? On Nate Campbell. Yo, Jess. Hello?
I can't hear you, bro. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
No. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, that's cool then. Yeah, like I said, my bad. Signal's terrible here. If you would have given me advance, I would have been at home. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Signal terrible where I'm at. That's what it is.
So Nate Campbell's pretty much picking Floyd, man, like the rest of
the
world.
Like every other guest. That's telling you something. Yeah, Jesse. Every guest we've had on is telling you. Everyone's telling you that. There's a reason for that. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. So what's your pick? You're still picking Pacquiao by robbery?
But you know what's funny? You missed the first of the show. I told him Pacquiao by robbery, and he said, that's a good pick.
So wide. One judge might.
What's that?
I thought one judge might have it. Mayweather's going to watch him, man. He's going to stop him. He's going to stop him.
I'm thinking Pacquiao, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Pacquiao. I really feel like Pacquiao has... I really feel like Pacquiao has what it takes to beat him. Yeah. Call me if I'm wrong. 347-215-6721.
What you say?
We just had Nate Campbell, man. Shout out to Nate Campbell.
Break it down.
What? Oh, we just lost Flawless again, man. Flawless keeps coming in and out. again. But yeah, man, I really feel that Pacquiao's gonna win this match, man. And you know, whether that's me being mean and being, you know, realistic or not, I'm not saying nothing. But I mean, you know, we had Campbell on, and Campbell was saying some pretty unrealistic remarks himself. So, hey, man, Flawless, man, stop.
Yeah. Who you put me to sleep? That's why I keep dropping on you.
Your favorite fighter is Ricky Hatton, man.
Nah, my favorite fight is not Ricky. Your favorite fight is Manny Pacquiao. So we talk about that. We can talk about that. That's why you're picking him to win.
I got Manny Pacquiao to win.
But you have no plausible. But you have no plausible reason why. You still haven't told me why he's gonna win. Give me the breakdown. What makes you think he's gonna win? You made a judgment. Now I'm telling you why. Tell me why you've made that judgment.
The best offensive fighter against the best defensive fighter. Mayweather doesn't fare well against left-handed fighters.
Says why? Who? What left-handed? All right, let's go off the first. All right, you know what? Continue. So he don't fare well against left-handed southpaws. Well,
and Pacquiao could switch it up.
I'm switch it up. What do you mean by switch it up?
He could go from lefty to righty.
Okay. So the fact he can switch stance and he's a southpaw. And what else?
And Pacquiao can fight dirty.
Okay. And there are three reasons.
No, that's my top three. Yeah.
So there are your three reasons.
The judges are looking for them to win.
Right. So the judges are looking for him to win. He's a southpaw, he can switch stance, and he's dirty. So that's what makes you think he can win. So in that case, he can do all that. Why does he have so much trouble with Marquez?
Well, Marquez was a stupid fight.
That's not answer to the question.
Hold on. If you were in the beginning of the show, you could say we talked about this already.
Go on. Let me hear this.
Marquez knows him. Marquez could have got stopped in the first round.
Yeah, the first fight. Yeah, in the first fight.
And the
other
round.
Obviously.
And the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
Marquez figured him out. That doesn't mean that Mayweather will figure him out.
So you don't think Mayweather has the ability to adjust and figure someone out as well as Marquez does?
All right, let me ask you this, man. We're on air. Hold on. We're on air. Are you going to put money on this?
Yeah, and what? The Mayweather? Yeah, I'm just looking for the best odds. I've already been looking at the bookmakers over here. I'm just looking for the best odds.
Let's do 200.
What are we doing? What do you want to do? What are you saying? All right, we won't discuss this on air, but what do you want to do? What are you saying? $200. You want $200?
$200 American.
Okay, it's a bet on the outcome of the fight. All right, it's a bet. Live on air, we can do this. Yeah, $200 American, that works. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I send you my PayPal details after the show.
No, hold on. We got 2 weeks to pay each other. Hold on, 2 weeks after. But and I'll explain the reason why. I get paid every 2 weeks, so.
All right, that's fine. No problem in it. $200 in it. Yeah, $200. That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
You swear to God?
Yeah. I swear on my life, it's a bet, yeah. On the outcome of this fight, 100%. Why are you getting all brave all of a sudden? Because on the last show, you won't even make a $50 bet with one of the callers. You do feel like you have to back it now, ain't it, Jesse?
Well, I was thinking I should have a back it too. My 200 should be 400, because that's what it is in Vegas.
Say that again.
My 200 should win 400.
You're looking to win 400 in Vegas. Is that what you just said?
I mean, that's what it should be.
What should it be? Nah, man, this is a straight bet. This ain't no bookmakers. $200, you said that. I was like, okay, that's fine. No problem, Jesse. I'm saying. You know what I mean? But so like I said to you, so you think Marquez has the ability to adjust better than Mayweather? Is this what you're telling me? That's what you're telling me. That's what you're insinuating.
Yes, sir.
Wow. All right, say no more, Jesse. Say no more. I mean, say no more. See that? You shouldn't let your hatred for a man conquer your intelligence, fam. You know this, Jesse. It was after that show. I can't wait for May 2nd. Can't wait. I'm moving off that. What did you think of Kolarov Pascal?
Oh, man, what a great fight, man.
That's another fight. That's another fight you pick wrong that I pick right. Remember that.
No, you picked it right, but, I mean, Pascal, well, I thought it was an early stoppage, but whatever.
We know Kolarov is going to win regardless.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Me and you need to start putting money down regular. But anyways, go on, continue.
It was a great fight, man. I love the way Pascal caught some real moments in that fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I think we should do?
Go on.
It's 4:30. And Wild Card Gym. I think I should call Wild Card.
Say that again. Say that last bit again.
I think I should call Wild Card.
Yeah, call Wild Card, innit? You do that.
Yeah, it's 4:30 over there.
Mhm.
Let's call Wild Card.
All right.
And see what happens.
Yeah, let me see. Might be able to get Pacquiao on the phone. Yeah, you never know, Jesse.
You like that experiment?
Yeah, let's do. Why not? This is gonna be, this is already the most unprofessional boxing radio show ever. So it's like, yeah, this can run. Yeah. Call Wild Card.
You got to keep talking. You know that, right?
Oh, is it? Well, you should have told me. I didn't know if what you was doing right then. All right, so yeah,
we're live on the air, man.
We're live on the air. It's, oh yeah, I like to give a I need to give a shout actually, cause my boy hit me up on Twitter, WhatsApp. Yeah, me shout out my boy OP. Yeah, me in Liverpool. Yeah, me. Well, yeah, so give him a shout out and that. I was gonna see him out on radio, but I thought nah, I wouldn't. Shout out my boy Tux, of course. Yeah, me flawless Mr. Take No, live on the air. I say the most unprofessional radio show ever. Yeah, I mean, calling him on radio. You can call in, Skype call in and whatnot. Yeah, I mean, I know OP probably heard that, so I'm going to call him a slag live on there because he is a slag. Yeah, so call in on your thoughts. Mayweather Pacquiao. Call it Rev Pascal.
Hey, can I speak to Freddie Roach?
Yeah. Jesse.
Hello?
Hello, Jesse, you back? Jesse, are you back?
Hello?
Is the Carter Man Radio still alive? Yeah, me, 347-215-6721. Or Skype call in. That's 347-215-6721. Or Skype call in if you're not in the U.S. Myself, Flawless. Twitter at That's Me Flawless. And then you've got Jesse at Jesse Recon 1. And if you are shy, just hit me up.
Hi, man. I'm sorry, man. We brought you live on the air. You're at the wire card gym, man. Can we get any indication of what's happening?
Happening as far as what goes?
What's that?
Well, what do you mean when?
Yeah, did you see Pacquiao training?
He's training, but it's a closed session, so nobody's allowed inside.
Oh, no. Who am I speaking with?
This is Mac. I work for Freddie.
Oh, Mac. do you think Pacquiao, me and my friend got a $200 bet going here. I got Pacquiao. I got Pacquiao over Mayweather. We do a podcast. I trained. I interviewed Mr. Roach before. If Natasha Aiello is there.
Yeah.
You know, please tell her to come on the phone. But
she's not.
can you give us like an atmosphere about what's going on?
We're keeping it closed, so there really isn't a whole lot of atmosphere. All the fans are left in the front of the building, so they can't get too excited. Nobody's been watching them train except for Freddie and a few of Manny's workers. Otherwise, it's closed to everybody. I can't even get in to watch it. So,
is this the best you've ever seen Pacquiao train?
I haven't. You're not listening. I can't see him train. They're not letting anybody in.
Oh, you're not even allowed.
Right. They're keeping it 100%, you know, to the inner circle, and that's it. Nobody else is allowed in.
Oh, wow, man.
So nothing's open. They're keeping everything under the lid.
Oh, man.
Right.
So who you got for this fight?
What do you think?
Of course
I have Manny. I'm hoping. So, but you never know. I just want a good fight. I hope he doesn't run.
Any way you can get us Roach on the phone or?
Nah, everything's tied up. They have the media in there now. He's doing interviews and what have you. And then he's heading off to dinner with one of his lawyers.
Now at the Wild Card Gym, man, how many celebrities have you coming in?
I haven't seen really anybody yet. No, Triple G was here today. That's about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he came by to say hi to Freddie and Manny.
Yeah. Do you think he's the real deal or?
He's the real deal. Yeah. Yeah, and he can cut off the ring better than anybody. Get the best footwork in the business.
Yeah, I want to see Andre Ward back in there, man.
Yeah, like, where is he?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I got to run, man. I'm getting busy here. I'm at the front desk.
Okay, man.
Good luck with that, man.
Yeah, can we get anywhere I could get Roach for a future interview?
Nah, not for this fight, man. He's tied up with the media, and he's dealing with the back problem, so he's not in too good a mood.
I got you. I got
okay,
you.
Take care. I got to run.
All right, thank you, man.
Yeah,
we gave it a shot, man. We called Flawless. We called him up, man. What do you think, Flawless?
Well, man, like, I expected him to. He works at Wild Card Gym. Of course, he's going to say Manny's win. I respect that. I start blowing loyalty. I'd say the same thing. He ain't going to turn around and say, yeah, Floyd's going to win. He works at Wild Card Gym. Of course he is. So that's understandable.
No, I'm still gonna try to work us to get Freddie Roach on the show, man.
Probably said it's a close second and whatnot, so no one's seeing him train and whatnot. So you know that he's training hard. Ain't gonna matter come the end, but we know what's gonna happen. I'm enjoying taking that $200 away from you though, Jesse, still. Maybe it'll be just the principle. It is.
Yeah.
Oh. Why? Yeah, me picking pie. I get it. But you know what? Let me throw a hypothetical at you because that's it.
I can't make out what you're saying.
154. What do you think about that?
I can't make out what you're saying. Yeah. Hello? Hello? Okay, Flawless just contact again. Let me try something new here. Hey, Flawless,
yes.
You there?
Yes, I'm back on. That wasn't me, that was you, wasn't it?
No, you hung up.
Yeah, because you weren't hearing me, innit? That's what it was. I put me on hold on mute or something. Back where it was.
No. We were hearing you.
But yeah, that's what I was saying, that he mentioned Golovkin. It's like, what do you think about him facing the winner of that fight at 154?
I'm actually going.
Say again?
I'm trying to pull the impossible right now. I'm trying to get Freddie Roach on.
Did he not say he's training, or is he with media?
No, but I have a connect with his girlfriend.
Oh, same. Oh, shit. You have a connect with Freddie Roach's girlfriend?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I ain't going to put that out on air, isn't it? Jesse, isn't it? Are you a gigolo, Jesse? Juggling women. You're juggling women.
Give me one second, man.
All right, yeah, I know it's live, so I got to keep talking and whatnot. I hear you. But yeah, this is the corner live with myself, Flawless, and Jesse Reacon, who's currently trying to connect through to get Freddie Roach on the show. 472-1567 is the number. Or if you're outside the U.S. like me, you can Skype call in. It's better than mine because it's been terrible today. Yeah, Jesse on Twitter at JesseRecon1. Myself on Twitter is That's Me Flawless. I'm also on Facebook as well, Flawless Take Note. We had Nate Campbell on the show earlier as well.
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Nah, yeah, I'm trying to figure everything out, man. I'm hopefully going to give you Freddie Roach soon.
All right.
You're
talking about tonight, or you're talking about just in the future?
Well, I'm working on tonight. I don't think it will be possible tonight.
We ain't got much longer on the show anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I mean, what's your whole feedback on the show today, man? Hello? Okay, we lost Flawless, man. God, we'll be on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 347-215-6721, with Ruslan Provotnikov. 1.